Welcome to the Self-Esteem and Confidence Mindset with me, Johnny Pardo. Welcome back to the Self-Esteem and Confidence Mindset podcast with me, Johnny Pardo. Today, I welcome Andrews to the show, where we're going to be talking about self-confidence, overcoming addiction in video games, self-improvement, and much, much more. So a quick introduction to Andrews, and then we will dive into today's conversation. So Andrews is a testament to resilience and self-improvement, with over 9 years dedicated to personal development and a remarkable feat of completing an ultra race in harsh winter conditions at minus 20. His life struggles have sculpted him into the inspiring figure he is today, embodying perseverance, adaptability, and an unwavering commitment to growth. Wow, love it, Andrews. very much a man from my own heart. So welcome to the show, obviously. Really glad to have you on board today. So yeah, you sound like a very, you know, I know you're a very driven man. You know, from what I just said, you can tell you're doing a lot. You're doing the self-improvement, you know, doing the ultra race in crazy conditions and things like that. So I guess it'd be really interesting to hear what's got you so driven onto this self-improvement path.
Well, first of all, thank you for the invitation. It's I'm glad to be here and share. But what really got me started was actually a teacher in the school.
Oh, wow.
It's a very interesting story how I didn't only get bullied by other kids, but also by teachers in school.
Okay.
And there was this one day when the main teacher that we had in the primary school told me that if you don't start to learn and get better grades, you will end up as a homeless man next to the garbage bin. And as a kid, that lit the fire in me. That's been burning ever since, I guess, to just show people that there's so many more ways to educate yourself and move forward in life other than school. School is great, but there are other options as well. It's all about what you want to do in life. What's your vision?
I love that you've become so driven anyway. But yeah, obviously sounds like there were some like challenges there, and then what that teacher said made a really, really big impact on you. But obviously it's got you in doing some big things right now, right? So yes. So for you, like, what got you? How did you sort of uncover some of these things you wanted to do? Was it just through like taking action, or did you work through with someone to be, you know, discovering these things? Tell me a little bit about how you you started realizing what you wanted.
Well, first I started realizing it at a network marketing event, actually, where my father forced me to go for 3 days. It was a 3-day seminar, and they were all learning there every single day. And I actually hated the first 2 days. But the third day, there was a guy from Sweden, I believe.
Mm.
And when I heard his story, then it clicked with me, and I was like, okay, if this guy was able to do it, I can do it as well.
Oh, wow. So you
because
inspired.
He was not even able to read or write. He had all sorts of other problems that I don't have even.
Oh, so you're inspired by someone else's story and realized the possibilities you had for yourself in life.
Yes, and it was also the first time I got introduced to self-improvement and self-development industry. So that really clicked with me. I was like, okay, this is interesting. I want to know more. It was in 2015.
2015, wow. And you kept continuing on that path. So yeah, like obviously you've done like the ultra race, and you've continued with the self-improvement, which is awesome. Like for you, when When things get tough, I mean, a lot of people, when they come up against some of these barriers, whether it's in something like a race or it's something like their self-improvement, then life suddenly throws them a challenge or something their way. How do you keep yourself going when times are tough?
You know, it's a very interesting story. I just thought about it before coming on here. It feels to me like whenever things get hard, I look behind me and I can see the pit. And if I don't start climbing, I'm going to fall back into that pit of addictions, of all these problems, etc., etc. So the only way is I just have to keep on hanging on or climbing up. Because if I let go, I'm going to be back down there inside the problems.
Yeah, so it's kind of you're looking forward, right? You look behind you, you know, realizing you don't want to go back there, but you're looking where you want to go, it sounds like, moving forward.
Yes.
So yeah, tell us a little bit about, if you're open to, like, you mentioned addictions. I know we were talking about sort of like video games a little bit. Yeah, is that something that happened in childhood as a result of maybe some of your experiences? Yeah, it'd just be interesting to hear your story, because I know lots of people have different addictions, and it doesn't necessarily mean drugs, doesn't necessarily mean like alcohol, although it can do. But yeah, you mentioned you had a bit of a struggle with a type of addiction there.
Yes, well, it started very early, already as a child. I think I was 6 or 7 years old, something like that. And at first, it was not really that big of a problem for the first few years. But after some family issues started coming up, I went more and more into that to escape the broken family life and all the other stuff that was happening, you know, in school at that time. Specifically, things started going bad as well, like fifth grade, I believe, fourth, fifth grade. And then I just forgot about it and escaped to the video game world, where I spent 17 years not living any life outside of video games.
Oh, wow. So it was kind of, was it like an escape from some of these challenges?
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. So yeah, like you're playing video games, and thank you for sharing that. I appreciate your openness. I think for me as a kid, I can sort of, maybe we've all got different stories, right? But I can remember just playing it for days on end and even unraveling. Like, I can barely play 20 minutes now, but like, like even just unraveling it now and uncovering some of my wounds as well. I think it was a little bit of a bad habit for me as well. Like, I'd be on it 7 hours a day sometimes, you know. Might be more, might be less for you, but yeah, it's certainly an interesting one to kind of escape some of those things. So yeah, thanks for your openness on that one.
That's really, yeah, awesome. I mean, if you said 7 hours, then for me it got so bad that 2 days I didn't sleep.
Oh, wow.
Okay. And in the end of that, I just, you know, pretty much got knocked out and went to sleep.
Wow. Okay. Well, thanks for your, you know, transparency. Yeah. It's a lot. And yeah, I know there's various forms of addiction. And for me, whatever the kind of, like, going on our phones is a terrible addiction, though, for many of us. And, you know, I've been guilty myself. But yeah, for me, my personal experience with addiction are some kind of a form of escapism from like feelings or experiencing emotions. I know it might resonate differently from others, but it sounds like you were sort of in an escape route as well in your story. So yeah, how did you work through that? You know, you're getting escapism. Did you sit with some of these feelings? Did it get so bad you realized you had to make a change?
Well, I think a huge part plays like learning just about myself. I think things started changing slowly after my first Tony Robbins event in 2021. And then after that, it was just a slow process of 1-2 years, I believe, before I actually got out of it. So I got out of it actually 2022 November.
Oh, brilliant. Well done.
Yeah.
So it's kind of like a slow realization, a slow process after the realization.
Yeah. I had to face some problems that made me think twice whether I want to continue or not, especially financially, because I had this huge, cool computer. You know, you've seen the pictures, maybe the expensive ones. And I had to sell that because financially things were bad. And then I was like, okay, now we'll play less video games already because we don't have the tools, right?
Yeah.
And then it just went from there slowly.
So you made that shift. Wow. So, yeah, it's like, and then you got, was it 2021 you said the Tony Robbins event?
Yes, it was the UPV virtual in March. Virtual. Yeah.
Oh, brilliant. Cool. So, yeah, with the Tony Robbins one, that sounds like had a bit of an impact on you in terms of going to that. So, yeah, for you, what's the impact of being an environment being for you on your self-improvement journey?
Well, that's the biggest part, actually, because that's when the things started changing really fast. Because in the end of 2022, I got invited to participate in a summer program to go sell books in Canada. And there my mentor kept me so busy that I just didn't have time for video games. And I knew that it was like once in a lifetime opportunity, so I had to give my everything for this. So from there on, it was relatively easy, and it helped me also get some really good habits in. So to this day, I have some of them.
Oh, wow. Okay. Yeah, it sounds like your mentor had a big impact on you, and yeah, like focusing on something else had a big role on you as well. In terms of moving forward. No. Did you find yourself after the Tony Robbins consuming like more personal growth, more self-development after then, or was it kind of similar to what it was before?
You know, after the event, actually, I started to look more into that. But once a few months went by, things went back to, you know, how they are, because the environment hadn't changed and all of that. So I think the biggest thing is environment, for sure. Like, that must be changed in order to have the growth or come out of this.
I love that. So, yeah, like, it sounds like you kind of, like, moved environment, you found something that was different, different, therefore give you that, like, focus as well. Were there, like, you know, when you got a bit stuck, perhaps, and you're, like, wanting to go back to maybe some of the addictions and things like that, did you have anyone to kind of, like, support you in your corner? Did you have, like, sort of, like, plans in place? Or was it just something you didn't have to think about after a while?
Well, you know, if you have something for that long of period, then it comes back, or at least it tries to come back. You know, it's always in the back of the head here. It knows that it's your weakness, so it wants to use it against you. And if I'm honest, I didn't have any support, to be honest. I only had myself. And it was all about keeping myself busy. Because I knew that if I keep myself busy, I won't be thinking about video games. And as soon as I got some extensive amount of free time, it will hop right back in, saying, oh, you got time. Just play a little bit. You know that voice.
Yeah, sure. So how do you feel like now when you have free time, or are you still keeping busy?
I try to keep myself busy most of the time, but today it's already much better because it's been like almost a year, or over a year even. Yeah, over a year since the change started to happen. So the voice is not so loud anymore.
No. Okay, that's good. So kind of like, yeah, like we've been talking about sort of like focusing on something else, in order to like get your brain concentrating rather than sitting there. And I think, yeah, for me that, yeah, that would ring true for like other things I can think of or what I've heard people say, like people who are trying to quit drinking, it's like not sitting there with like, you know, in an environment with like alcohol in there just for free time, like that's never gonna, you know, your willpower is never gonna last. It's like the same,
Yes.
like same with your free time, you've got a big console or video game machine in front of you, and being like, so yeah, the environment and the focus sounds like they've been essential to you as well.
Of course. Well, and the difficult thing with video game addiction is that it's in some ways more dangerous than other addictions, I would even consider. Because if you know about the six human needs, Tony Robbins speaks about it as well.
Yeah.
Then you can cover all six human needs with video games.
Oh, that's interesting.
So if you really think about it, certainty, you know exactly what game you're playing, what's going on in the game.
Yeah.
You get variety because you have other players, you don't know what they are doing.
Yeah.
Then significance. You got to prove yourself to other players as well
Yeah.
to gain their respect.
Yeah.
Then growth. You always want to go to the next level, do more, get better weapons, whatever, right? Depends on the game.
Yeah.
Communication. You can have voice chats, speak to people.
Connection,
So, yeah, all of that is in there. And contribution as well, right? You can help other players well, worse than you.
Ah, interesting. That was the one I was, when you said it, I was thinking, yeah, I can see it. It was really interesting that you talk about the six human needs. And Tony says, out of the six human needs, which are, you know, the significance, the variety, certainty, love slash connection, growth and contribution. He says, if you're even hitting well, the four main ones, basically before the spiritual ones of the growth and contribution. But he said, if you're hitting three out of the four main ones, or even two, I can't remember, it can become an addiction. And
yeah.
Yeah, if you're hitting all of them, wow. Yeah.
Yeah.
I was thinking about the, I must admit, I was just thinking then when you said it, I was thinking, how's contribution come into this? But yeah, it makes sense when you say that you're helping other players, because I see the growth. I can see, like, when I've been getting better at games when I was a kid, it's like I've like completed this level, I feel better. It's like, even if it's really, really hard, I get really frustrated. And yeah, I felt like I was connected to something. It wasn't love, but it's settling for connection.
Yeah, it's something.
Yeah, that's very, very true. Did you find other ways to meet that? So, with the other things you were doing, were you finding other ways to meet those needs?
Well, I was working full time,
Yeah.
So I got some of it from there as well. But other than that, not really.
Okay.
All it right. Was just working games and working games.
Working games, yeah. Till you got busy to, yeah, other things, and then, yeah.
Yeah.
Change your environment. Oh, I love that. Okay. Oh, that's awesome. So, yeah. Andrews, before we wrap up today, I just wanted to know from you, this is a question I always like to ask, what's your number one confidence tip?
For me, I think it would be proving myself that I'm better and I can do more, even when I think I can't. Just proving myself wrong.
Yeah. Love it. Yeah, to you, not to someone else, to you, to kind of, yeah, show
yeah,
yourself.
Just for myself.
Beautiful. Love that one. And yeah,
so that builds up over time.
Yeah, totally. Rather than trying to, for me, it's about not externally trying to prove myself to other people as much, even though that's a way we're conditioned. But yeah, proving yourself wrong when you say you can't do it, sounds like proving that inner voice wrong a little bit.
Yeah.
Moving forward. Lovely. Love that one. So yeah, Andrews, if like the listener wants to find more from you or wants to get in touch, where can they find you?
Mainly on Instagram, also LinkedIn. I've started to use that way more. So these are the two main channels. I also have a Facebook page, but people can follow it. It's not so active right now, but Instagram is the main place where I operate.
Oh, brilliant. Okay. Well, we'll be sure to link those up in the show notes below so the listener can get in touch with you and find out more about your work and your self-improvement journey. And yeah. So thank you once again, Andrews, for coming on the show today.
Yes, thank you.
Awesome. So that concludes our episode for today. And remember, you are in control of your own self-esteem and confidence.